Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
How many of you guys already have this, like, as a dub?
Yeah.
It's the fake Oilers. They're 0-4 as well. Ain't no way in hell it's going to get that bad, right? Where the Texans lose to the fake Oilers and go 0-4. How many of you people are actually feeling a little bit scary about this game? You could talk about it. And I say it comes down to more, B. Scott, than just, like, the historical numbers. We know what the deal is. From 1990, there have been four teams. From 1979, there have been six teams to overcome a 0-3 start and make it to the playoffs. The 92 Chargers are the only team in the history of the game to start 0-4. And they actually won the AFC West and went and lost to the I forgot who they lost to. They lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. The 92 Chargers. I don't want to have that conversation next week. Yeah. I don't want to have to overcome those types of historical odds next week. So what does it really come down to? You know the history. It's not good. It's not favorable. What does Sunday Texans v. Titans really come down to, win or lose?
Yeah, man, for me, it comes down to so look at it like this. Neither team has a good offense. Only one team has even a decent defense. Both teams are laughably bad at this point, okay? Laughably bad. We're talking about a pillow fight to some degree right now. And I hate to say that, but that's the way it is right now. But at the very least, we talked earlier about redeeming qualities. What are the few redeeming qualities that you can point to with the Texans right now when you try to find hope? And there are very few, if any at all, on offense. But overall, as a team, at the very least, you do have a defense that can wreck a game against an offense that is one of the few that is as putrid as yours, if not worse. And I would venture to say that this one is worse than yours.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it comes down to defense and just showing a competent offensive strategy. Like, not beating yourself. Like, I think in a lot of games, they've beaten themselves, whether it's penalties, whether it's in the last game, penalties and turnovers. I think if they play, and this is not to be cliche, this is like the honest to God truth. If they can just play a clean game offensively, to hell with being explosive, Bajani. Like, I'm not there yet. I don't feel like this is an explosive offense yet, and they're going to have to crawl before they walk. And then hopefully at some point they become an explosive offense. But we're not even having that conversation yet. If they can just run a clean operation and play true to form on defense, I think that will be just good enough to get them a win in this game. Desperation, the desperation level is high, obviously, because we talked about the historical odds. They cannot afford to lose to this team after already just having lost to a team that they had no business losing to after you look at that Jacksonville Jaguars team.
What's supposed to come first, though? Are you anticipating a cleaner operation or an explosive offense? You're one. And really, to some degree, year two of Bobby Slowick, the one thing that you could say about this offense is that they could dial up the explosives.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of sustaining drives, that was, to me, the same conversation that we're having right now through the first 3 weeks for this Texans team. Because it's the clean operation. There have been struggles about getting in and out of the huddle. There have been struggles about not shooting your foot, with false starts, illegal formations. Offensive penalties, like self-inflicted wounds there, it's the same issue. I almost expect this team to show a propensity to be explosive and that be the reason why they get over the hump than anything else.
But not for me, because the caveat is that this is a different offense. And when we watch it, right, when we watch them execute the offense, a lot to me, you tell me if you disagree with this, But to me, the offense is predicated on that clean operation. Like, that's where the whatever explosives are going to come, that's what it comes from. Like, it, so much of it is predicated on being buttoned up and staying on schedule, advantageous down and distance situations, running the football. Like, a lot of these basic things, the thing about this offense that makes it go, from my vantage point, is when you do all of the simple things. Clint talks about this all the time. The simple thing, savagely well, that's like his term for it. But that is it with this. And I know we've talked about wanting to see that no matter what offense they run. But with this offense specifically, it is a necessity. It is something that you absolutely have to do. You have to start here before you can get there. I'm not sure where the explosives come from if they're not able to stay on schedule, if they're not able to hit their layups, if they're not able to max protect on a four-man rush, if they can't establish a certain level of physicality where they can run the football. Like, they're not doing any of these things. Give me a clean operation, and once we get clean, then we can talk about getting an explosive play to Nico Collins other than a busted coverage, other than something that they gift wrap to you. Go out there and earn it. So that, to me, is what has to come first, specifically on how this offense is designed and how it runs.
Sounds like you want like a Tom Brady, kind of a New England Patriot.
That's what they're doing.
So, okay.
I don't want that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
They didn't ask me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get to go in there and decide. So this is what they're doing. This is how they got to go do it.
The media asked Nick Caley yesterday, hey, man, this is a Tom Brady system, right? Like, what's going on here? When's it going to start to be cleaned up? Here's what Nick Caley said yesterday.
Well, again, this is our system. This is not a copy and paste New England Patriots system. Okay, if that's what you're alluding to, I'm asking. But relative to the system, I think everything we've done has been very intentional to be able to cater it around our players, to simplify the make the verbiage very. And we strip everything down to the studs in the spring. So I think the thing that this system does is allow our guys to be able to have enough bandwidth and flexibility to alter schemes to fit the guys that we have from week to week. And that's what it does. Whether it's, again, in the run game, gap schemes, perimeter play, zone, mid zone, wide zone, like, we can activate those based on who we're facing and who we have available. And I think from a language standpoint, you know, we've cleaned that up and from the time we got here.
It sounded to me like Nick Caley was trying to explain to the media yesterday that, hey, man, we've really tried to simplify this thing, tear it down to the studs from day one, and we're getting better. We're working on this and all that. But game plan offense has been a big thing, okay? And I want to know from you, your opinion, can both be true? Can you have a game plan offense and ask players at various positions on a week in and week out basis to do something that the opposition doesn't necessarily do very well? Hence, we need to put this in our game plan and take advantage of that, a la, what do we do well? Let's make them adjust to us. And we're not questioning every single week, like, in my opinion, the Texans did last year, and they ultimately failed. We are going to ask our players to do something every single week that they are not exceptional at, they are not good at, they don't fit.
I felt like when he, and I'm going to answer your question, but I felt like when I'm listening to Nick Caley here talk about how it's not a Patriots offense, it almost is like an alcoholic telling you how he's not an alcoholic, but how he has a drink with every meal. It's like, I'm not an alcoholic. I just have a beer with breakfast. I have a lemon drop for lunch, and then
lemon
I have
drop.
And then I have a whiskey and Coke for dinner. But I ain't got no alcoholic problem. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I just drink with every meal. That's it. You know, there's no big deal.
Yeah.
So that part did not make sense to me. But to your question, like, I prefer to force the issue. It's the offense that knows what play they're going to run. It's the offense that knows when the ball is going to be snapped, right? And so from that standpoint, you should be the one that's initiating the response, not the one that's responding to whatever is being initiated. So to me, just from a philosophical standpoint, I would prefer you identify who you are and identify what it is that you do well and lean into that, stick to that. Don't try to adjust it because you perceive the other team to not do this well or to not adjust to this thing well. No, you don't do enough things well enough to talk about how we're going to do all of these different things. Find out who you are and be who that is. Don't try to reinvent yourself every damn week in the sake of, hey, we're going to be a week-to-week game plan offense. I like it from an ideal standpoint, like, hey, we're gonna scout the opponent and play to their weaknesses. That's great.
Yeah.
Do that as best you can. But at some point, rubber might got to meet the road, and you got to be whoever it is that you are. And the issue that I have with the Texans is it's like both. They don't have an identity or know exactly who and what they are, nor are they good enough to do this on the fly. We're right. going to attack the Man. Opposing defense's weaknesses. Like, you're not good enough to do that, nor have you established what it is exactly you are good at, who 100%. Exactly it is you are. And so that is the fork in the road for this offense, for this team overall. The conundrum, if you will, for this team is, like, to hell with just trying to, like, adjust to the defense. Try to dictate and actually identify who it is that you are supposed to be.
Right. I don't think
they haven't
that,
done that.
I don't think that can happen. And it doesn't sound like that is going to happen with the way that Nick Caley in that clip just described their process.
Yeah.
It's not Tom Brady. It's not even the guy. It's not anybody else that understands an offense like a similar to even Tom Brady.
What is the game plan offense, Sean? Not to cut you off, but what is the game plan offense done for them in the red zone? Oh, spoiler alert, they don't get to the red zone very often.
Yeah.
Oh, another spoiler alert, when they get there, they don't score. They have yet to score in the red zone. What has the game plan offense done for them on third down? Oh, spoiler alert, they're god-awful on third down. So, like, help me understand where it is that we're going with this whole
You're thing. Expecting a third-year quarterback, and the arrogance, the confidence that Nick Caley is at least trying to portray that he has, you're expecting almost, by his explanations, to get something that a 6, 7, 8-year veteran quarterback should be able to do crammed into a third-year quarterback. And in a lot of cases, for the players that you're having to rely upon, they're in their first year.
Yeah, dude.
Not just with this team, but within an NFL offense. Like, I just don't understand. And I do feel like, in some sense of the way, that we're wasting our time kind of discussing these kinds of things.
Nonsense.
I feel like there is a smoke and mirrors, you know, situation going on here that, you know, there's not transparency ever, really, with an NFL team, in that they're going to make it very difficult for us to kind of piece together what's really going on here.
Yeah.
And I do think there's something larger. And to me, it's not as simple as, well, Joe Mixon's not a part of this offense, and if he was, that would fix everything.
He would help.
Well,
he would help.
You know, he would help. He helped last year.
Yeah.
And he had a really good season last year. But I guarantee you that 70% of what he did as a running back was off script, at least. That might be being super conservative.
Oh, you know.
I guarantee. And so how much would he help? Yeah, he'd help a lot, because great running backs are instinctive. They've got great vision, and never mind just his physical ability that he still holds at the age of 30, 31, 32, whatever he is now, like, to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what.
Yeah,
he would help. But in terms of sustainability, this offense, mind you, with a healthy Joe Mixon for 13, 14 games last season, was not able to sustain drive after drive after drive. They are not in the conversation of the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bengals or the Rams or any other elite offensive football team that you had pegged coming into the season, or that is starting to look like we should have had pegged.